Yeah. Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome to LMAO Podcast, Cutting Up with Comedians. First episode. We're premiering this episode.
Sorry.
We start every show with a slap like that, just to make sure I'm awake and things are working well. We got a guest stopping by today. First guest, Mr. Mike Randolph. Tight Mike, as he's known around Orlando. Been in comedy a while, man, but he'll be stopping by on this beautiful after 4th of July, the 5th, hanging out. Got the coffee going. It was a late night last night, to be honest. Hanging out. But, yeah. Whoa, the man right there. What's going on, brother?
How's it going, man?
Good. Good to see you, man. Good to see you. Grab a chair, man. Grab the headphones on there. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Pull that mic right to you.
There you go.
Turn it up just a lot. Nope, that way. Perfect. Yeah, we're not so fancy. We don't get this mic. We get this mic right here. Like Barry White all into the thing, man.
I see you doing Barry White, man.
Yeah, why can't I hear you very well?
I know that.
I know why.
She's your queen to be.
There you go, right there. A little volume in it.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Oh, I like
it. Thank God it was down when you were singing.
Yes, sir.
She's your adjust. Queen.
There you go. Yeah, you right. Have this issue. Remember we had.
Oh yeah, well I always have that issue anyway. I'm like, all right, switch to a shirt with an emblem and hides the rolls.
There you go. There you go.
She asked me earlier why I changed my shirt and then I lied. I was like, I have to represent. I was like, really? It hides the roll.
Definitely, man. The dark colors take it away, man.
Yeah.
Make sure. Us both look like we in great shape. You in great shape too, Ed. Not like I'm trying to holler at you. I'm just saying you're in great shape, man.
Oh, man, it hides well. Hold on. There we go.
I can tell it's a lot of salad and vegetables.
And a lot of rabbit food for sure.
Yeah, man. I'm still on burgers and fries.
No, man. No, I tore some up yesterday, dude. What'd you do for the 4th, man?
Hey, man, I got back in town. I went to like 3 different barbecues. And I got some
spreading around.
Oh, yeah, you got to, you know, you got to make an appearance. So I go to 3 different barbecues and ironically, 3 different things were good at each barbecue.
All right.
Like the ribs were good at this one, but the hot dogs was garbage. The burgers was good at this one, but the ribs was trash. And then the last one, the ribs, the chicken, the hamburger, all of it was nasty, but the drinks was amazing.
Did you map this out? This should be like a 4th of July barbecue map that you can ride.
I did not, my friend. I did not end up going to Daytona Beach yesterday instead of today. I went yesterday, and everybody was like, oh, you got to come to my house. You know, you're visiting over, see everybody's house, and it just so happened it worked out like that. So by the end of my visit, I got a full meal and drinks. It just took me 3 separate stops.
Well, see, I had to start drinking at the first one, so maybe that's why the drinks were so good by the last one, because it was like drink 8.
It was the church people at the first one, so there was no
drinks. All right.
All just
but better food.
Better hot dogs.
All right.
Ribs better second place, and then food trash the third one. So church people made the best hot dogs.
All right. All right. Cheap food. Makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Makes sense.
No telling what they put in hot dogs these days either.
That's disgusting.
It can't be.
That's why I don't even eat the damn anything that's a jelly anymore. Have you seen that video? Oh, don't watch that video.
It's jelly and peanut butter and jelly?
No, like, I say I'm jelly. The gummy shit. Anything gummy.
Oh, the gummy bears and shit like
that. Any of that.
Oh, no, I'm not a big candy guy.
Oh, God, don't watch that video, bro. You'll never eat anything gummy again.
They put stuff in it?
Oh, what it's actually made out of.
What?
Yeah, think about leftover, whatever. You know how they make hot dogs from leftover whatever, right?
Chicken parts.
Right. So whatever's left over from that, they make gummies with.
Yuck.
It's true. They got a whole video. They show it how it's bone broth, all this stuff, and they just mess it all up, throw some candy sugar stuff in there, and this little pretty colored gummy thing comes out after red number two.
So now my kids can't even have gummy bears no more, based on what you just said.
It's pretty gross.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. I'm apologize to your kids for me, though.
Yeah, you saved me $2.
It's disgusting, though.
It sounds...
And it doesn't matter if you get the Harbro or the Walmart. Or the whatever.
Right.
It's disgusting.
Wow.
So video out there.
Whether it's brand or not brand.
Don't matter. it's chopped up bones and garbage. And
motor oil and...
Probably. It's disgusting. And red number two.
And red number two.
Or blue number 6 or whatever color they dye that shit.
Right. Easter egg color. I got you, bro. That is... Ugh. Thank you for, now I got reason to not buy them candy.
Yeah, it's gross, man.
Now they're going to want more.
Just show them the video and see if they'll naturally not want it.
I can't stomach the video. You telling me about it. I can't be the good parent and shit. Like, look at this gross. And I can't do that.
Yeah, watch this video and you'll never, every candy is made just like this, little ones.
Wow. It'll stop them. What'd you do for the fourth, man?
I hung out of my friend's house, Sal and his family over there. Lake Nona side of town?
Yeah.
Hanging out over there. I realized there's always this person at the firework lighting time who knows the name of all of them. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the M4621-6000.
Right.
You have to light this one like this. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's just a fuse. And you just light the damn thing and it goes up. He's like, no, these go in order. They properly. He's always missing a finger or two because he's been doing it for years.
Right.
There's always that person who knows every single firework, who's way too wasted to be lighting fireworks. Mm-hmm. But it is fun to watch a wasted person light fireworks.
That is the best ever.
When they light it and try to make the run. Yes. They fall like the mummy's chasing them.
When they light the wrong one, they light the one that's in their hand instead of on the ground, and they run and it still pop them.
Yeah, I didn't get that lucky, but I would have. That would have been a YouTube thing.
You know what? What has become abundantly clear to me is there are a lot of rifles and pistols in my neighborhood. I don't know if y'all get it. And I found out New Year's and the 4th of July, who's got what?
All right.
They don't even buy fireworks no more. They buy bullets, and they just shoot them in the air or whatever.
This is Western style.
Bruh, this can't be fireworks. That can't be, like, sparklers or nothing. It's like, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, bruh.
Or somebody is hiding murder amongst the fireworks.
Right. Somebody said, you know, it's over for you today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I waited till the 4th. But you can pretty much tell.
Purge.
Yes, definitely the purge is on, brother. It's definitely like 238s in my neighborhood.
You know them by sound.
At least two or three cut off shotguns, machine gun of some sort.
I don't know how you know if it's the barrel's cut off from the sound.
Because it's louder.
Okay.
Boom.
Or it's got that ghetto bang.
Boom. Yeah, versus when the buckshots have to go farther through the thing.
Yeah.
It's just a pow.
Yeah. Snake charmer, they call it.
Yeah, man. So I'm like, wow, I thought I moved into a nice neighborhood. I live in a gated community, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
Well, who do you think has most of the weapons? It's all these middle class white people.
I had no idea, brother.
Yeah.
That Mr. Fred.
Yeah. He's got a whole room, I promise, dedicated to just artillery.
Absolutely. He is some type of former weapon training person. Mm-hmm. And to make it even worse, he's a mailman.
Oh no, I don't think those two should go together.
Works for the postal service.
No, I mean, everyone knows that's where the going postal thing came from.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense. He gets up every morning at 4:30. I live in townhouse. I don't have no big fancy joint. I live in townhouse, man. Above him and kind of next to him the way it's set up.
At least you got the, you're on higher ground.
Right. I can jump out. he can shoot me, I can jump. One or two. But he's the coolest guy, man. He actually brought me, when I moved in, he brought me a bottle of vodka.
Good guy.
Yeah, he's a great neighbor. That's how you greet your neighbors.
Well, at least you know you're good. The guy underneath you, they got to get by him to get up to you.
Well, like I said, the way mine is underneath him and next to him.
Oh, all right, gotcha.
So he's kind of opposite of me. It's like an L. And so, boom, the way it's shaped.
We're voguing, right?
Right. It's kind of an L-shaped townhouse. So I got upstairs, downstairs. He's got upstairs, downstairs. Ironically, his kitchen is upstairs. But the bedrooms are downstairs.
All right.
My kitchen is downstairs, but the bedrooms are upstairs.
I've always wanted the higher bedroom in case they come in a bedroom window.
Right.
And, well, I got time to shoot you if I've heard you come in my living room.
Right.
And I'm getting all a little dark right now. But
that's okay. I know you, brother. I've been researching.
I got my camo shorts on, man, of course.
You've been shooting guns all over your eyes. That's what it is. I'm excited. And I guess getting away from that, man, what is a good gift for a new neighbor? And this guy's like,
vodka
was a great gift. I would have never thought of that.
Yeah.
Most people do like a fruitcake, something silly, like cookies or something.
My neighbors must hate me. I've never gotten a gift from a neighbor ever. I'm a terrible person.
No, you're not. You cut your grass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you come home on time, nothing crazy, no loud music. Yeah, party. There go your gift right there. Your gift is them not calling the police.
They did.
Oh, what? For your loud party?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it was, well, me and my lady are a party once we're just hanging out,
That's
right?
That's what's up. That's a good deal.
We just do that, right? I got these speakers right here, these little PA PA's all set up. Now, when it's blasting, I'm blasting.
Right.
And it's just me and her partying up like we're in a club solo. You know what I mean? Like, we have a good time. We open up the back door, right? I mean, probably we smoke and drink too much, right?
Perhaps.
We do. Debauchery goes down later. They probably got it on film out back somewhere.
Because you leave the door open for your debauchery?
Yeah, we're on the porch.
Okay. I'm at the right place.
You know what I'm saying?
Brought a friend. I should have brought up. I knew it was something special about coming to your podcast.
We have a great time. That's why there's couches on the porch. You know what I'm saying?
I did not. You know what? I wasn't paying attention.
And they're air drying right now.
I was like, well, maybe he wet up his couch and he's air drying it.
No, that storm that came through the other day, that's what wet it up. Okay. It was nasty.
Yeah.
But so now we're out there partying, right? And we're at least a bottle of Jameson in.
Okay, at least one bottle.
At least one bottle in.
10-4.
We may have even went to the backup wine by now. I can't quite remember. It's bad when you got two wine holders
back
out there.
Backup wine.
Yeah.
You should be backing up with Jameson. You backing up with wine.
Well, I don't remember. But the door knocks.
Okay.
Now I go to the door, open the door, and it's a female cop.
Okay.
And I'm, now I have, all right, my neighbors probably don't watch this. I had already snuck in my neighbor's backyard because he has a spotlight out back.
10-4.
And when he turns it on, you see everything in my backyard. You know what I mean? Like, bright. And I'm like,
showtime.
Yeah. So I went over there to just unscrew the bulbs. But when I tried to go over there and unscrew the bulbs, I realized the lamp thing that he's got is like 7 foot high.
Yeah.
I couldn't reach it. And then it has like a special like MacGyver lock thing to get to the bulb. So I'd given up.
Right.
So when I saw the cop at first, I was like, uh-oh. They thought I was creeping around out back.
Right. Creepy guy next door.
Yeah. Peeking something like that.
Peeking in windows.
But it wasn't. It was the music, right? So I open the door and I'm aware,
right,
that I can be a little intimidating looking, especially
absolutely,
when I'm drunk and I'm not paying attention.
Right.
And I realize I noticed the female right away, so she's probably going to be a little bit more, I will tase this motherfucker.
Right.
But she wasn't. She was cool as shit. I opened the door and I was like, hey, what's up? And she's like, some of your neighbors, you know, somebody called and asked to turn it down. And now I'm upset because I thought I was friends with them and them.
Right, right.
And so I'm like, which one really called? And I'm not angry with her because I know they will take that out on you.
Absolutely.
And being from Pine Hills, I have good training in that.
There you go.
And so I'm like, so which one called? And I walk out the front door without even thinking, kind of at her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And she has that backup. Sir.
Right.
And I'm like, no, wait, which neighbor? This one or that one? Who was it? Was it this guy?
Right.
And they go, really? Is it that loud? She goes, well, since you're out here, keep walking out. Right. Walk out to the side. I'm like, she's just setting me up.
Right.
And I walk out to the side, and I can hear my music. It's blasting. I can hear it from all sides. And I'm like, I'll find out which one of these neighbors did it. She goes, you know, I can't tell you, sir, but some of your neighbors also live behind you.
Wow. So that was like the little peak, like a little halftime play.
Yep.
Like, I can't tell you who, but some people actually live behind you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Bing, bing, directly. Bing.
What if I went done something terrible?
That's not good.
It would have been bad.
That's not good. And she was trying to, she did two things when she asked you to walk out. Make sure you could walk a straight line. Yeah, so you got to think about the
fail.
You got to think about
I walk right out in that straight.
Here, so she, clearly he's drunk, but he's home. He's not driving.
That's true. Cool.
And then she said, you know what? He probably wouldn't want to know that. He's a cool dude.
Because I was. I was playing. What was I playing? It was good music, too, man.
Oh,
I may have had like some Sinatra or jazz or something.
Okay, you're going back.
Yeah, had something funky.
Okay.
And I was like, that's good music, girl. You know you like that stuff. She's like, yeah, it's good music, but.
But it's too loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you didn't volunteer the information that you was over there trying to unscrew the spotlight.
No, I did not volunteer that information.
I think your neighbor saw something he liked, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to give him more light.
Yeah.
So I can get a better visual.
Right, man. They turn it on, like,
oh, yeah.
It's bad.
It's to pick up the highlights in your hair, brother.
It does.
That's what it does.
I think it's better for the camera in case we're on it.
But I was just going to say that. You make the video look cleaner.
But when I am on the porch and that's going down, I act as if I'm on camera or being filmed.
Because you know.
I'm performing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And if you shortchange, you won't get any awards.
Wait a minute. Maybe that's why she's always wanting to be outside when we do that.
Perhaps she has a special affinity for that. She likes the people to watch.
No, not that far.
Okay, not that much.
She's just making me perform. Now I get it.
Yeah, because you do a bad performance out there in front of you.
I'm done. You're like, oh, did you see that? It was 2.5.
You're going to start getting gifts from your neighbors, too. Like, little bitty pickles.
Or a box, or one of those notes with magazine cutouts taped on it. Give me $10,000 or release the tape.
Right.
What would you do if somebody had you on tape like that and then tried to blackmail you with it?
I would let them release it, man.
Me too.
Yeah, because in my opinion, 17 years of stand-up and entertainment, any publicity Good publicity.
That's true.
Even if you, you can always work your way back. Oh, you're the guy from the little, from the video with the little, like, no, you got to see it in person. You got to check it out. And man, I'm recently single, so I would definitely like to put out a tape right. I would put out a tape right now if I had some like super duper supermodel or something.
No, all right. Not the ex-girlfriend though.
Absolutely not the ex-wife. Not the ex-wife. Yeah, that you want your money back after that one, man. And the good thing is, it looks like you guys got a spark, man. If you date somebody for a while, it becomes like mundane. So it's like, all right, you know the combination. Okay, 7 to the left, 5 to the right,
little twist,
7 back to the left, and that's done. You know, you want a safe that you want to crack. You want a safe that's always open all the time. You got to kind of.
That's that man thing, right? That, yeah. I'll leave your name out, buddy. But he'd been married now like 15 years, but if we have a drink or two, he starts talking about me. He misses the conquering.
Yeah.
The go out, and I'm like, dude, you can't say that anymore.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, but he'd do like the foot up thing, and I'm just like, dude, come on, man. That was way too white people right there. Conquering and stuff, but it was, well, actually, he would go, it's the hunt.
Right, right. The thrill of the chase. I get it.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to keep it fresh and keep it funky and, you know, wigs and
porch
chains
sex.
And, yeah. And then you just air out your couch.
Porch sex.
Right. And maybe your buddy next door is enjoying you guys. You know what? I'm going to help him out and give him a spotlight. It might lighten him up. He might have the type of person that likes to watch, and then they see y'all, and she gets motivated, and it helps him.
Or she's looking at him going, how come you never do that?
Right. Yeah. Cause
I'm going to call the cops on this month.
Because you over here showing out. Mm-hmm. And he's starting an argument. You start an argument for them. And now he's like, you know what? Just stop this madman. Dirk Dingler over here. Let me call the police.
She's over there upset.
Oh, Mr. Marcus.
You haven't taken me in years, Fred.
Fred, come on with it, Fred. You see what he's doing over there? Look at the hip motion. Shut up, Margie.
Get some more Jameson.
Call the police.
I suggest that as like a couple's thing.
Yeah.
Like if you're in a weird spot and or whatever, or it's mundane or some shit like that,
right.
Get a bottle of your favorite shit.
Right.
Well, sometimes that could get really bad because you start letting shit out.
Right.
But agree not to talk about anything about the relationship. Yeah. Crank up the music and just get drunk with her.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, man. Every time, that was my rule in marriage. When we argue, we have to argue naked.
I like it.
You have to argue naked. That way there's either some laughs.
Yeah.
Or there's some understanding. Like, look, you know what I'm saying? Whatever on your mind, you get on the bed, get naked, I'm going to sit on the bed, and we look eye to eye. What's wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, nothing's wrong now.
See, I'd do that to make sure she had no weapons.
Yeah, that was a good tactic, too. You know what I'm saying? That'd keep the knives from flying and then pillows and all of that. Pillow fight, a good pillow fight is always good.
That's good.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't want the physical combat with your lady, but you definitely want some type of, you know, attraction, affinity towards, hey, we need to get this solved. Hit me with the pillow. If I did something wrong, hit me with the pillow.
Well, when you're naked in front of each other, you realize both of you probably should stay together.
Right. You can't spring that on nobody. You don't want to spring this body on nobody. Like, look, I was specific when I got married. I married somebody that was built kind of like me that looked at like a 1 month pregnant belly and look a little. Yeah, it's that way when you're naked, you can't be mad.
Yeah, you kind of.
You're built the same.
Yeah, there's no upper hand.
No. Like,
if she's way hotter than you or vice versa.
Right.
It's at any minute, she could be like, you know what? You're lucky I'm even here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing you a favor.
Yeah.
Appreciate what I've done for your life.
Does that work the same, though, with the money, too? Like, if the dude's got way more money.
It can and it can't. Apparently, when the dude has more money, man, the ladies a lot of times go after it. But when the lady has more money, it's kind of like your sugar baby.
Yeah.
Sugar mama, sugar baby. Yeah. You're like, look, mom. But they do. And I
that's been a thing lately, though.
Yeah, a lot of women have really, like, they apply pressure to you. What I found out since I've been single now 3 weeks and 2 months.
Damn, that's early.
I know.
Fresh out there.
20 minutes and 13 seconds, 14 seconds.
Oh, I'm always counting down.
Well, I will tell you this, A. Women now will be honest with you versus when I was, before I got married 8 years ago.
So, eight years married. I'm setting now. So, 8 years married.
Right.
20 minutes single.
20 minutes, a month and a half single, 15, 16, 17 seconds. They will tell you I got other friends now. Before they did, they kind of like, you kind of guesstimated.
He's just my friend.
Right. It's my guy. It's the dude from work or whatever. Now they'll say, look, I have other friends. And then you have to literally ask, are you intimate with this dude too? Are you intimate with this guy too? They just say, I'm dating. They don't say how many dudes they dating. They just say,
I'm dating.
And that to me is fine because now we can go to lunch or dinner Dutch because you're dating.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guys might be taking you to lunch and stuff like that. And how are you ever going to really get to know me if you're dating everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, because now you're comparing what you got instead of spending time with one person and focusing. So I was kind of like, and that was everybody's giving me this advice, of you need to date 4 or 5 people, man, to get that other stuff out your mind. And I'm like, bro, I don't want to date 5, 6 people. I was with one person for 8, 9 years, every morning, bad breath, every evening, bad breath. You know what I'm saying? Now you got kids involved. I'm focused on this one lifestyle. And now I'm having to get back out here. I don't even know what to wear out to the nightclubs or to the jazz bar. It's tough. And then I meet this woman who's successful. A couple of them successful. And they got their own car, their own crib. And then they're like, well, you know, I'm dating other people. I'm like, well, okay, well, you're successful. I get it. But how you just letting people put fingerprints on your mirror?
All the time.
How am I going to ever see what's inside if you got all these fingerprints?
Yeah, you can't. I've never really looked at it like that.
You have to be focused in on that one person, man. Like when you and the bae are out there on the couch, you focused in. The spotlight's in you. In your back. You focus, man.
Shadow puppets and everything.
Yeah, and then as a man, unfortunately, I can't speak for all men, but for me, if I know that you're messing with somebody else, it's a turnoff for me because I'm like, okay, who is this dude messing with also?
Also.
Right.
And then who he's messing with, who she messing with. And
they mixing up my pot and my stew and my soup right there. So I don't want to put my spoon in that soup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to take my time. You only get one spoon, brother.
Yeah, it's true.
Right. And then every now and then you got to wash it.
Every now and then,
more frequently you should wash it. But if you with one pot of soup, then you can take care of it. You know where
it's hard to even trust though somebody telling you they just with one pot of soup too.
Jeez,
you know what I'm saying? Nowadays, between all the different apps and the everything,
I did the Tinder. I did the Christian Mingle.
Yeah,
I tried.
I think that's a conundrum in itself.
Yes.
It's like Christian Mingle. Wait a minute, man. It's like a good whore.
But you can't say that.
A whore shaming, though.
That is.
Can't even say that.
No. But I found more, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it to you. I've met more loose women on Christian Mingle.
Of course.
Than I have on the other.
Preacher's side. Daughter syndrome.
Some of that, yes. And then the church ladies who like, look, I just want to backslide one time. And your mama.
Then they want to pray with you afterwards.
Yeah, they want to bless you and caress you.
Oh.
Yeah. And your
mama. They sleep with you, they start crying, and they go, please kneel with me right now.
Well, I don't know why they're crying on you. You're probably twisting the stuff too hard. You're twisting the.
Oh,
and,
yeah. All right.
You're a little rough. Trust me. Rampage.
Yeah. I don't like pain, though.
No. Pain is your only pleasure.
I think they're inside, though. They're hurting, so they know.
It's mental. Yeah, it's mental. Or, you know, it's a recovered
that
stripper.
That Christian guillotine just hanging out up here.
It can be, man. And not to get into religion, but no matter what religion you are, that's your God. You believe in what you believe in. And, I got a great relationship with my God. But those are the ones that I would think would be safer, so that's why I went there. No, man. Those are the ones with the oil and the Jameson and the Crown Apple.
Yeah.
And the Moet and the, what's the other, the Moscato. Those are the ones, and they set it up. Hey, I want to meet. I don't go to nightclubs. I'm going to trust you that we can meet at my house, and I trust that you're a great person.
Yes, that's crazy by itself.
Right. You get over there, and it's already set up like a porn set.
Whoa.
It's already. I'm like, what?
I think I'd walk out.
I tried to.
Because, like, I've been out long enough, right? And when I was out there, some girl, if she hit on me too fast, you know, real quick, or sometimes just be straightforward, like, I want to fuck or something.
Right.
I would be like, I know I'm not that special that I'm the only motherfucker you have said that to.
Right.
In the last week.
No, probably not.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
But to my point, this is what bothers me. I'd rather do that, than meet somebody 2-3 weeks. Dinner, $200-$300, $400, and then you have sex, and the sex is trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather just meet
you. Get the job interview over with.
Right, and just, you know, because ultimately we both want to smash.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we is it going to be long term? I don't know. I met you online. You're already screaming desperate. So, we'll be cool. You never know where it goes, but definitely off the top, you're screaming desperate.
Yeah.
Because you're online putting yourself out there. To me, and I do it, and it's
I was going to say, wait a minute.
It's a double standard. It's a double standard, but I'm doing it just for, you know, having fun and meeting
I think people. You're doing it so you can get material.
And that's great, too. It is, man, the type of dates I've been on, bro, you wait. You'll see when you're in my material.
Oh, all right.
But my new stuff is, oh, man, because I'm newly single. It's like, okay, he hadn't really been in the nightclub. He's like new. You like fresh meat.
Yeah.
He hadn't really been in the club. I hadn't really
seen him. Well, most of them, they probably know every single Tinder profile in the area. So they see a new profile pop up.
Bing, 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 bing.
Oh, man.
Yes, I'm new fresh meat, man. Meat department. Line one.
Right. Windex it.
Right, line one. But now it's like I'm at that tender age of early, late 30s, early 40s.
I see that. You see that pun you just did right there.
Yeah, I'm at a tender age. Yeah, see, you see me. You're a smart guy. I like that.
Hey, my mom.
I can date your mom, or I can date the daughter. I can date
or both.
50-year-olds. I have dated
the world
one.
We live in.
I have dated both, but not at the same time. It happened on a whim. If I did, I'd tell you, Mike. I held it on. I've dated two sisters, but not at the same time. And I've dated mom and daughter, but not at the same time. And the difference is,
you're a freak. I'm watching you.
No, I got you. I'm a lady cadaver. Some freaks lie, but invent your lover. No, the sister introduced me to the other because she was married. And she said, well, here's my sister. You know, I can't date you because I'm
married. Oh, you used to date the sister. Was it like years ago?
We worked together.
Uh-huh.
And she says, hey, I really like, and we see each other every day, so you know there's an attraction.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, man. She's like, no, Mike, I'm married. You got to, you know, holler at my sister.
Okay.
So she turned me on to the sister. Me and
but
the
y'all
sister,
didn't smash?
No, me and the first sister, no.
Okay. So it doesn't, all right. Yeah, not
right,
creepy.
Right. Me and the second sister smash.
Okay.
Right. So the second sister's like, oh, sis, I really appreciate you introducing me. She's old. I really appreciate you introducing me. Me and this dude, we're kicking it. It's smooth and shit is going. Oh, and he is such a great lover. Bam, to the sister who says, okay, we're trying to introduce you. So you're going to just fucking stare out my sister like that? And I'm like, well, you introduced me to, I told you. Well, look, we got a smash now. That's how I got it.
Oh.
So now this one's all out in the open, and this smash is a top secret.
Oh, not anymore.
Yeah, well, but I didn't say any names. But clearly not now. I'm not smashing. The other one, the mom and the daughter.
All right. This is getting interesting.
The mom, I was at unisex hair salon. So they did lady hair over here, and they cut guy's hair on this side. So the lady kept looking at me. I'm like, well, damn, you know, what's going on? And then she struck up a conversation. Oh, you knew around here, da-da-da-da-da. But she's like the mother hen of the shop.
Okay.
I was maybe 30. She was 50 then.
Okay. That's always fun.
Yeah.
I prefer older.
I do, too. And I did not know how sexually advanced, and you clearly they've been having sex longer, but she mm-hmm. showed me a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So one day the daughter walks in the shop, you know, after I've been getting my hair cut a couple times. I'm like, oh, it's the daughter, she's fine. It's like, oh, okay, but the daughter never really paid attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. Until. Right. Happy hour, and I won't say the club in Orlando, but happy hour, we outside chilling in the door watching people walk in happy hour because we don't want to go in there. We just want to see what's in there first. The daughter, hey, what's going on? Da, da, da. We talking? Like, look, I live across the street. Let's just go have our own cocktails. We got to pay this. Let's have a great conversation.
Smart.
Me and my boy, we chilling. Okay, da, 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 da. Mike, you cool? Da, da, da. This Mike, you know, I think you smashed my mom, though. I was like, no, me and your mom cool. Plus, your mom like 20 years older than me. I would never smash your mom. Right. She gets on the phone, starts talking. I, out of nowhere, because I'm me. She's sitting like next, like, so I just unzip my stuff and she just like, what just right.
You just put it out there.
Just whipped it out. Like, oh, I'm taking a chance. We're gonna lose the drop.
Playing crap, seriously, though.
Right. So it's like, she she saw it, she knew what to do. Yeah. My boy in there making drinks. He's watching the whole thing. He's spilling.
I thought I was bad on the porch. You right there in the bar in front of. All right.
He's at the bar making drinks. We sit on the couch. Her phone rings. She starts to talk on the phone. I'm like, okay. Clearly, she's missing the point here. I'm trying to. All right. Let me call you back. Wolf. I'm talking about Wolf.
He's just on you.
Oh, my boy, he can't get his drink, mate. he's dropping ice. He's dropping the liquor. It's going down. I'm like, I can't believe it's happening. And he's right there, but he's trying to figure out how to join in.
He could end up ruining it for that, though.
He could have messed it up.
Yeah.
She hit him with the sixth sense. Like, he tried to come over and whip out, and she kind of hit him with the, one at a time. No,
yeah.
Just this guy, because he's cool, and he goes
you're
to
pretty strong
shop.
There, bro. You just pushed back the entire brick wall.
Hey, man, I'm from Tallahassee, Florida. It's a different kind of strength, man. Close to Georgia, we eat the red clay up there. We strong.
Somebody's
man.
Watching. It's like, I knew it! I knew it!
No. It didn't really move. It just looked like it moved. I put my hand through the wall and then brought it back.
Yeah, so mom and daughter.
Mom and daughter, separate times.
You should have went for both. Same time.
They would never have gone for that. And to this day, they don't.
Well, the way you're playing craps and just rolling the dice out there.
I did, but I was 30. You know you're 30, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, you whip out anyway.
You don't give a shit.
Yeah, you whip out anyway.
Yeah.
It's hard as freezer meat when you're 30. You know what I'm saying? That's my buddy J.J. Williams. It is hard. I'm talking about
you ready.
Second grade number two pencil heart.
Yeah, you
the
ready.
The fat one that won't never break. You can't put a pencil break with that.
I missed 30.
Yeah, 30 was a good year. Between 30 and about 30.
If you could be any age forever.
30.
30?
20, 29, 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, in between. I would say between 25 and 35.
Yeah.
Because you know a lot of stuff, and then you really act, you got that I don't care attitude. You go just chase it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Once you turn 45, you start, like, okay, strategically planning out the rest of your
life. Risk assessment.
Right. I have to retire. Mm-hmm. I have kids now or a wife, depending on who you are. So but that 25 to 35 is, you don't want to be married. Just want to chill. And it's probably the ideal time of, you kind of know what you're doing now with a woman.
Yeah.
You know what the seriousness of having a job and making money.
Yeah.
Right. And the seriousness of saving. You know then.
Mm.
Right. So you probably your most dangerous where you know how to use your bill. You know how to pay the bills. And you know how to chill.
Bill time.
There you go. You know what it is. But you can balance more so at that time versus your focus when you get older. Like now, I'm focusing more on my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. I live my wildlife. I've been on tour and all those great things. And I got all those stories still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least you got to live. A lot of people don't go after something like that. You know what I mean?
You got
to
chase it.
Yeah. They just kind of bow out. They get married. They have the kid. They don't chase whatever it was that, you know, to get them their stories.
Right. And that's the key, though. Hey, you got to marry somebody, get with somebody who understands your vision.
Yeah.
Don't alter my plan. Like, you have to go along with me in what we're doing. Or I have to go along with you because we decided to be together for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Scary when you think about it like that. Forever. Like right. Sandlot, forever.
Forever. But that's your partner in life and sometimes in business.
Crime.
Crime, absolutely.
Porn.
Porn. It's your Jameson buddy.
Yeah.
So you got to get with somebody that, you know, understands you. And there's a lot of compromise that goes into it, man.
Yeah. I think I'd stay like 21 when I was still stupid.
Yeah.
When I thought I was invincible.
But
I thought I knew what I was doing with women. Right. But I really believed it at the time. I was that stupid.
Right.
So, and I didn't care if I was going to see 30.
Wow.
I did everything. I was a big dope boy.
Okay.
So I had money.
Mm-hmm.
Spending stupid money,
uh-huh.
But felt like I was smart.
Uh-huh.
I was dumb enough at that age to where you really think you're smart, you're arrogant, stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you ask me, I'm like, fuck yeah, I know that shit.
Right.
But I didn't know anything, but I kind of miss that. Yeah. Ignorance is bliss. I don't know how dumb I really am.
Right.
I don't.
You didn't know you was dumb.
Yeah, right.
It was like,
the older I get, the more I know how stupid I keep getting. But you know what I mean? Back then, I was so arrogant.
Right. Look at all the stories you got now. Like you telling me, look at all the stories you got now, man.
For doing dumb shit.
And you live, though. But you live.
Yeah. Don't know how.
The end of all of that, you lived.
Yeah.
And I've been places I know I ain't going to make it out of here. Let me just go ahead and give myself the last rites because this ain't going to be a good look right here.
Yeah.
And it didn't start off as life and death, but it ended up as life and death.
Yeah, I've been in a couple of them spots, bro. Right. Like, that was 10 Tarantino movie shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where I'm literally sitting there like, you don't really think about it walking into it until you're sitting there and you're going, that Mexican's going to shoot me.
Yeah. There you go. That happens.
Yeah.
Or that grandma's going to shoot him and miss.
Oh. And
shoot me. Yeah.
Been there.
Yeah.
I haven't been there, no, but you've been there.
Yeah. I've been in a bus station, man, in a restroom in a bus station, and these two dudes is arguing in the bus.
Where at?
Pistols.
Where were you?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah. And they in the bus station. Yeah, and I will say this, the same bus station, best damn hamburger you ever eat.
Attempted murder. Almost shot, best hamburger you ever had.
I walk in to pee. And I just hear people arguing. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. It's turning into something. I'm at the urinal. Like, okay, well, let me just get on out of here. This one time I might not wash my hands. I'm going to get on back out of here. And one dude's arguing in English, and the other dude's arguing in, like, Creole or Patois. Like a Haitian guy, a lot of Haitian friends. So I can tell the accent a little bit. And they wasn't communicating together at all.
Yeah, two languages will do that.
Right. So there was a barrier. And then out came the pistols.
Oh, boy.
And here I am with my pistol. And it's pissing. So I'm like, wow. And then you can tell the one dude's trying to get out, and the door is like right behind me on this side, but they arguing over there. So the one dude's trying to back up and get out of the door before they get shot. And I'm like, okay, well, if I run,
yeah
he's either gonna make me a hostage.
Take black people hostage.
They're gonna make me a vest.
Yeah,
right.
Or crossfire, or a witness.
Right. So if he shoot him, he definitely got to shoot me because I just saw him shoot him.
Yeah.
So like you said, a witness. So
yeah.
Like,
notice that's where my mind went immediately for the guy doing the shooting.
Right.
God.
But it's two of them, and they like, I don't know if
Most people can't shoot either.
That's my issue.
Most people can't.
That's my issue. Like
it'd have been that. Yeah. Everyone again, you'd have got shot. Right. No one else would have.
Right. Well, lovingly and just favor, little kid comes in.
Oh.
And so and everybody kind of get like.
Thank God.
And I walk out. I'm trying to grab the kid.
Yep.
But the dude with the, that's backing out, he walked out too. So it's like, okay.
All right.
Everybody's all right.
Grab the kid, hold him up over my face, throw him back out.
New Jack City style. No, I'm trying to grab Buddy. I'm trying to get out of there. And the dude's trying to get out the door at the same time, but he sees the kid. So nobody ended up shooting, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah.
There's some times, man.
Yeah, so now I'm thinking, like, I shouldn't have left that little dude in there with the other guy with the gun.
Yeah, yeah but, right, because then he's in there with Witten, man. Usually, though, if they pull it out, and you haven't been shot yet.
They're not gonna shoot
you.
Yeah, you either shoot or you're not.
Yeah, you're not gonna know. It's just gonna come out. You're gonna get shot. That's
right.
All it is.
Right, right.
You won't be like, oh, waving it around, holding it sideways like a no. If you see the gun, he ain't gonna want to use it.
Right.
Or she.
Right. It's a done deal.
And be surprised who's strapped to nowadays, man.
Oh, everybody's strapped now, man.
Yeah, I used to be wild. Like I was saying, when I was 21. I was wild, man. I didn't give a shit, right?
Right.
And this dude cut me off. He was in a white Ford Ranger, John Young Parkway, LB McLeod.
Okay.
And he cut me off driving like a crazy man. He was an old dude, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I have been known, allegedly,
right.
to jump out of cars and pull people out of their cars.
Right, right.
Allegedly.
There was a time.
Yeah, there was a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped doing it after this time.
Okay.
I did. And older dude, you know, and I'm kind of, well, in my 20s, everybody was an older dude.
Right.
Right. So got his little Ford Ranger, two-door, I won't forget it, driving like an asshole, man. He deserved an ass whipping.
Right.
And anyway, cuts me off to get into a lane real quick, flicks me off too as he goes by, had thrown something out his window so it hit my car.
Wow.
Like, it's time to go.
Yeah, it's a con.
Yeah, and if I get out, I'm getting out with my hands.
Right.
I'm not going to get out with nothing else.
Right.
Cuts me off, and I start to get out. And I can see him in his big old Ford Ranger rear view side mirror right
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
He had a look, man. It looked crazy. It was almost like, finally.
Yeah, I've been waiting on this.
Yeah, he'd yeah. been waiting on it.
Yeah.
And then I go to shut the door and walk, and I see his face smiling. I see him pull it up, and I see it out of the rearview mirror like this. I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And you think, how close? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he would have got off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he
you
came
know
out of the car. He came to my car. My life felt threatened.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had that speech all prepared.
Oh, he was ready.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he showed us too quick.
Pulled it right there. I can see it in the rearview, in that big old rearview on the Ranger.
Life.
But he had that look. He had that look like,
death,
finally.
Death has come.
Yes.
Come on, Death. Run the corner.
Finally.
Let me get you.
God. I was
LB
like, man.
LB McLeod and John Young.
Yep.
White dude and a white Ranger.
Mm-hmm. Two-door.
You never forget that.
No, I won't.
You're like, you know what? This ain't worth it.
And I've had guns pointed at me 4 times in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 times. And not vehicle-like. Like,
right.
In a room, like.
Right, like, this could end for you now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you know, you're living a life of chance. There's a chance that you might not live your life.
I have no more extra lives.
Yeah, you use all 9 of your
cash. And I've been in 3 car accidents totaled. Well, the
wow.
cars were total.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I'm playing out of lives, man.
Wow. You're a blessing, man. There's something he's keeping you here to tell people.
Don't jump out of cars a middle-aged white man on John Young Parkway and Ford Rangers.
Right. Never be alone in a room with a guy with a pistol at you.
Or walk into a room escorted by a guy holding a machine gun who sets you in another room with a couple Mexicans with pistols in their hips either.
Yeah, that's not...
Nothing against Mexican. I can say that because my lady's Mexican.
Right. But that wasn't a Taco Tuesday.
No.
Taking you to.
No.
No.
No. No, no, no.
My ex is Dominican, too, man. That's something about... us and wanting something from another country and just another
culture.
Yeah, something different.
Culture.
Just want something different, man, with culture.
No, when she starts singing, my girl sings that Salma Hayek song.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, you loosen up the couch a little bit. Motivation, brother.
Gets me.
Motivation, man.
I like artists. Women too. I have noted. Her and I do another podcast called He Said, She Said.
Okay.
Where we just talk about love, relationships, right? We keep it out of ourselves, right? But
right,
we just
right.
kind of talk in general. You say the word for me.
Generalities. Generalities.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Right. And I forgot what I was going to say. We were talking about keeping it spicy, cultural people, drinking, singing.
Yeah.
Shit, I don't know.
But
I lost it.
You're happy, man.
Yeah.
You're happy
that I had a point to that. We were talking. This, look at that shit. Not too bad.
That came back, man.
Quit smoking weed years ago. Short-term memory came right back. So, what was I talking about? No, we were talking about, we read this article about how you always date your exes, that you do have a type, that right. you don't think you do. Some people are like, I don't have a type.
Right.
That you end up, generally, we try to choose the opposite of the person we were just with, uh-huh. but inevitable, you will choose the person you were just with and always with. So it had me, I had to examine my exes for a minute, mm-hmm. and kind of like what kind of people they were and who I liked. And man, artists came up. It kept coming up, and I was like, I think I do. Because she's an artist. She paints, sings, does everything.
Right.
It was kind of cool to look back and kind of go like, is there a type that I dated? And the one person that wasn't my type, well, let's just say it's not there anymore.
It's not there anymore.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Who you telling? Right. And it's funny that you say that. I think my type is thick, aggressive, loving, caring, but about 20% insane.
Okay, that's all right.
18 to 20% in.
At least you're not describing it like most women, right? They want a guy who's tough but yet soft. Yeah. Who's they want the he's everything. You can't be all of that,
right?
There's no dude that can be all of that.
Oh no! That they making that up.
That's how I make up for treating her like shit. Because I was like, look, I yell at you like this because if I was just nice to you, you wouldn't respect me.
Yeah, you'd run all over. She'd run all over you.
Oh, because she's way strong.
Right.
Not
right.
A chance.
Yeah. So you got to keep it spicy with a little. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
These eggs. I'm unimpressed. You got to keep a little.
That actually happened.
You got to do it with it.
Oh, that's fucked up.
You got to keep it a little spicy, man.
You got to.
Hey. That. Your underwear, you got 7, I only see 6. What's going on? I'm wearing them, honey. Oh, all right. Let's keep it together.
In fact, I'm counting. I told you yesterday I was messing around with it. I was like, you know that Find Your iPhone app, you keep your location services on. That's how I know where you're at all the time.
Right. You need to keep your location on.
Yeah. Yeah, don't turn that off.
Yeah. Where are you going? Where were you doing at Super Duper Donuts?
I don't ever have to worry about it, but I like her to think that I think that I worry about
That's
it.
That's a good thing there. You got to get comfortable.
Really? You were checking us?
Yeah.
Looking at Find Your iPhone right there. She goes, well, sign in. Let me see. And I was like, I don't know the password right now.
Yeah, none of that.
That's just to find your own phone.
Little things you got to do, bro, to keep them guessing.
You have to.
You got
to
keep them on like 80% good, 20%, 80-20 rule. 20%, oh, he's crazy.
Yeah.
My ex hit me with the, I peed on your pillowcase.
What the fuck?
I'm like, why the fuck would you pee on my pillowcase? I just want to keep it. I'm just playing, or am I? Because it dry. You don't know if she peed on it. Not that dry.
Fucked up, man.
Yeah, like you made me mad the other day. I just wanted to be honest. She was playing.
Yeah.
You made me mad the other day. I just want to be honest with you. I peed on your pillowcase.
Yeah.
And kept making dinner.
And just went, like, oh, shit.
I'm like, you playing, right? Yeah, but am I?
I do that when I tell her about a toothbrush that I put it in places.
Oh, wow. Toothbrush gag always works.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, I couldn't reach a spot.
Yeah, that right there. Or you catch them when they're brushing their teeth. Like, oh, you brushed your teeth with that one? And like,
yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was doing some other cleaning.
Never mind.
It's all going down the sink anyway. Don't worry about it.
That's all right.
It's always good, man.
So what's popping, man? Anything new, man? Like, you've been doing it 17 years, you've been doing comedy.
17 years in stand-up, man. I got on TV my first year.
Dang.
Yeah, I was blessed, man. I, 2001, 2002, a BET Comic View.
Yeah.
And my first, I was working in a little city called Lake Mary, Florida. I was selling insurance.
Yeah.
And they said they were coming to Miami. And I was living here in Orlando. I had just moved here from Tallahassee, my hometown. And I was like, yeah, man, I think I'm funny. I want to do it. You know, I had been doing a couple open mics, and I was like, I think I'm ready.
How long you been doing? Like a year you've been doing open
mic? I had been doing open mic like a year.
All right.
And then I start featuring just a little bit. Oh, he's funny, da-da-da-da-da. Going and doing places, Altamont Springs, Florida, Ocala, Florida, just a little small. Then I got to Tampa. There was no Orlando Improv at the time. Mm. It was just like a bonkers, like C-list comedy club.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So my coworkers go, we think you're hilarious. We've raised some money. We got you $232 or $33. It pays for 2 nights of hotels. We want you to go audition. Cause they was like more excited about it than me.
Yeah.
So it's like 5 or 6 jigs, 2 or 3 dudes. Like, we want you to go. They threw me like a little party. The auditions was like Monday and Tuesday. So the Friday they had the $233, $233. Like, this is going to pay for your hotel for Monday night. And if you make the audition, you get picked to tape the next day.
Oh, shit.
I get to Miami Improv, 32 people.
That's a lot.
I went 32nd. Bruh, it started, later it became a good thing. It started at 7, it was 12:15 before I got on stage.
Good God, just standing around waiting. Now, do you start, like, looking around at other comics, being like, he's probably really funny, or she ain't funny? Do you, try to, you judging them?
You do, and some of them I knew, you know what I'm saying, because they were newer guys, but then some of them from out of town, they're from D.C., Chicago, all trying to get on TV.
Yeah.
So it's the audition at the time Steve Harvey's management group did, the BET Comedy View. They was in charge of it, picking the comedians or whatever. So his manager was there, TJ or TC or something like that. He was there, and he's like, well, man, you know, I'm hearing good things about you. We're going to put you on the list. Da 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 da. I went to sign up. And he's like, no, you type Mike. You know, just catch your name. Somebody told me about you. Da 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 da.
Dang, foreshadowed already.
Right. So now the pressure's really on because I hadn't done any type of TV. And he was kind of using me like, okay, well, comedians from around the country, like this guy's one of the main guys in Florida. I've been telling jokes a year, bro.
And you're the main guy in Florida.
This main guy in Florida here, man. It's a lot of talent here. I want you to stick to your set. Everybody's got 3 minutes.
That's it. That's hard to connect in 3 minutes like that.
Trying to make the crowd go in 3 minutes.
That's rough.
Right. So I'm 30 seconds. So mind you, by this time.
People done heard 3 minutes for a long. What's 33 times? 31 times 3 minutes. So you're like 100 minutes worth of comedy already.
And nobody did 3 minutes. They all did 5 to 7.
Oh, they just. Oh, man. So now it's been hours.
Bruh, 7 to 12:30. 12:15, 12:30 come. All right, our last comedian, y'all guys, give it up for him from Orlando. Tight Mike. Bro, I'm on there. I just started cursing. This is the longest shit I've ever been to. This is some bullshit. And I was like, oh, and they started laughing.
Because that's where they're feeling.
They're like, I know y'all tired. I've been watching all these non-funny moments.
That was smart because you knew the crowd thinking the same shit. Let's get the fuck out of here.
And everybody wants to see, because they only pick 5 of us.
Yeah.
Out of 32. So I got them on my side. Then I tell maybe 3 jokes. And I ripped, the last joke ripped. And I was like, okay, I ain't even got to do the whole 3 minutes. They laughing. Boom.
End it. Quit while you're ahead.
Went out front. They picked people in the lobby. Hey, we got such and such. And he called my name second. I'll never forget it. I don't know what the guy. Maybe Larry. It was one dude from Miami they picked. Me, Larry Dog, 2 dudes from Jacksonville, and a guy from D.C. Eddie Bryan, I think it was. And I was like, wow, I'm going to be on BET tomorrow. I'm going to be on BET tomorrow. Way different. The club hold 300 people. The theater we taped in hold 3,000 people. Jackie Gleason Theater on South Beach.
Yeah, that's big.
So I'll get there. I'm like, wow. It's like a concert.
Yeah.
Like auditorium. And we doing the pre-show. What are you going to wear? And they want you to bring your clothes so they can match the light to it. And all this stuff I had never seen in my life. Nice lights.
It's a long production.
Right.
Yeah.
I had never been on TV. Right. Maybe on the radio. And it was, and it was a call-in. It wasn't even at the station. So I'm like, wow.
That's a rush.
Bruh, I go there. Arnaz J, Bruce.
Yeah.
Oh, man, all the Ricky Smiley, some more. They all of them there. And I'm like, these are people I see on TV.
You got the same eyes and everything.
Right. Yeah. So we backstage, man, they got food and drinks. And, like, it's the green room is really a
You're getting spoiled off rip.
And my first year.
That's not good.
And I'm like, yeah.
I have arrived.
I have made it. And I had no idea. I went like 10th in the taping. And, man, it was fun. Rudy Rush was on my show. Mm. George Wilburn, Benji Brown, Marvin Dixon. Like the big Florida guys, the big Georgia guys. Chris Tucker was there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, just hanging out. He wouldn't even tape. He's just hanging out. Cheryl Underwood was there. She taped. And I'm like, wow. And so I'm so into the moment that I forget to, like, write my jokes down, what I'm going to do.
You're not working.
No, I'm just eating salad and fruit. And I'm really, like, blowed in the moment, man. And they go, okay, tight mic. You up in 20 minutes. Go to makeup, I think the guy said, or something. I'm like, we got makeup in
there. You turn around. They got everything.
They got food. There's some guy back there cutting hair. The barber, the own barber, the makeup lady, she put, like, a little foundation on me. Nothing major. People, nothing major. We sitting there, nice couches, and they interview you before you go out.
Why? Oh, because it's kind of like the way they're going to put the show together.
Right.
I got you.
So this guy.
That's weird, though, man. I have to do an interview before you got to go be funny, right? You got to, right. Yeah, I'm from da-da-da. Here's a, yeah, that's
rough.
They want
rough. A brief synopsis so that they can have something to tell the host. Hey, this guy, you've seen him on this. CVS, Walgreens, Walmart. Give it up for Tight Mike. No, because I didn't have any accolades. I didn't have any credits at that point. But I was like, wow, this is great. And I got caught up And I got caught behind like three really funny dudes, like guys that have been telling jokes like 17 years.
Oh,
type funny.
Hard to follow some murderers, man.
Right. And it was no like, okay, let's take a break and start over. And no, it was like, yo, you got to get it. It was like a cable call.
Deep in, bro.
Right. So I went right into it. At the time, I had a joke about Luther Vandross. I went right into it. And he had a hit song at the time. And it worked. But instead of me doing 5 to 7 minutes, I end up doing like 4 minutes.
All right.
I cut it short, but that ain't the time to cut it short.
No, because they need you to fill the spot, yeah, it's TV.
And then if they can pick what you can do, they can play at different times. If they got 5 or 6 jokes to use, you know, they can break it up into segments. So the Comic View in Miami was called Caliente.
Yeah.
So it's Spanish for hot.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So, watch that show on Sundays when I was a kid.
There you go.
Leave it at that.
The Caliente version. So they got the girls, they dancing. They like, man, on TV, they look amazing.
Yeah.
But they really like this tall. That's why their body's so nice and attractive, man, because they really like 5'3", and they all built like gymnasts.
Yeah.
And they got them little outfits. Man, wow.
Oh, yeah. I watched the Spanish channel on Sunday, 10, 12 years old. Yeah.
So I can't. I'm honest with you.
That's free porn.
I wouldn't say I ripped my first set, but I did good.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't bomb is the major thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did, like, if 1 to 10, I'd say I did, like, a 7.
All right.
Yeah, but at the time, I was so into me, like, I should have did a 10. I wanted, you know, I wanted 57. I want to rip the place so that people remember me and pick me the following year.
Yeah.
Well, the next year, it ended up. I don't think I did it next year. I think it was 2 years later, I ended up in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And Cheryl Underwood hosted. And it was like 3 weeks before Katrina hit.
Ooh.
Right. So a lot of people that was at our show, not to bring it down, but a lot of people that was at our show maybe didn't make it. So they actually ended up cutting it back and saying, and then they cut it out for a year. And then they came back with Kevin Hart was hosting and J. Anthony Brown. Yeah. But it wasn't the same Comic View. And then at that point, you got to think now, this is 07, 08, 09. Mm-hmm. So now here comes Facebook. Here comes Twitter. Here comes MySpace. Well, MySpace came first, whatever.
Yeah.
So
still around, you know.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Who's still on MySpace? You still on MySpace?
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
I lost MySpace. So the game changed, man. That's the evolution of stand-up. Now it's more guys that's doing the skits from YouTube.
Yeah, you got the two different. Well, you got mean comics mm-hmm. that are putting together just funny memes.
Right.
Making a killing on that shit.
Right.
Couldn't do stand-up to save their life.
Nope.
Then the skit stuff, yep. You know, doing the setups things on YouTube and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and then you stand up.
Right. So the traditional stand-ups like me, I can't sit around on freaking YouTube all day or Facebook and all that. But clearly that's the direction it's going. So now when I go to the comedy clubs, I'll get booked, but they'll have me opening up our one night because this other guy that's an internet sensation has a night.
You seeing that?
Right, because it's not about him being funny. It's about him being popular.
He got a following. That's
right.
It.
And so the people coming to see him, not to hear him be funny, but just to get a picture
just
with a celebrity.
See him. Yeah.
Absolutely. Which hurts what I do. So we got to kind of find a way to mesh the two.
Hmm.
And they making the big bread. So in my personal opinion, I think you should go out there, big name, internet guy, and host. Learn the stand-up game. I give credit to Country Wayne and Jess Hilarious and guys and ladies like that who came from that skit world and that internet world. And now they're blending into stand-up because they're actually working at the craft.
Yeah, because now it's crossover everything. Some of the biggest comedians are forced to have a podcast. They're forced to do something funny on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And some of the bigger names that are out there. And, look, I'm new in the comedy game. You know what I mean? It's my year one for me. You know what I mean? I'm wrapping up year one, barely.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so just take that for granted. So I'm probably more of a fan of comedy still than I am a comic, all right?
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
But I got thrusted up front, too, pretty quick,
mm-hmm.
you know, like similar to what you did.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this with a grain of salt. When I see some of these Netflix specials, I don't know who the fuck they are.
Right.
Never fucking seen them.
Right.
And I can make it maybe 9 minutes into the special, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's not what you're looking for as traditional comedy. Right, because they got popular so too fast. And then, now they're in front of this world, and they got to do 20, 30 minutes of stand-up that's watered down, shit that they can't really.
Well, it's a whole hour of shit.
Exactly, but because they're popular,
right?
Somebody's watching it. Somebody's buying it.
See, that's shitty, man,
yeah.
Because you get the, because there's almost 250, 300,000 subscribers on Cognitive Rampage here, right?
Okay.
That doesn't earn me any right. To go do a fucking Netflix special.
No.
Are you fucking out of here? Even if I had 10 million followers, it doesn't. Because, one, I'm not that funny yet.
Right.
Right? I mean, the shit I think is good and not good. I'm trying to literally work the craft, like you said.
Right.
That's got to be tough, man.
Yeah, you got to lend a way to it. But I look at it like this. The guy that used to have the cassette tape, he invented it. He was excited about the cassette tape. And then some bastard invented the CD.
Yeah.
And then the CD guy was all geeked. And then he lost out to the MP3 dude and the USB guy.
Yep.
So it's the evolution of everything has to change.
Now Pandora murders that.
There you go. iTunes and all this other stuff. Spotify and all of that. So there's always an evolution. You just have to find yourself in it and move forward.
You got to change with it.
Right. You have to.
Who do you think's the best comic out that's been around the longest that has either morphed what they've done to stay relevant and stay on top and relevant, or despite that has stayed who the fuck they are?
Right. You can still be who you are because the game has changed, man. It's hard. Like when I started 17 years ago, it was different type. It was a George Carlin. There was a Bill Cosby's. And then you also had the Richard Pryor stuff that you had to always respect the originators.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even before them was Rickles and all those other people like that. Somebody during my generation, during my time, that I think is pretty cool. I'm not a huge fan of Kevin Hart comedy, but I enjoyed the way he takes the game and makes it bow down to him. Because he started out in Soul Plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody that started in Soul Plane, bro, and you got to think, the guys he had in Soul Plane, which lets you know it can be done. He had Samore in Soul Plane. He had D.L. Hughley in Soul Plane. He had Monique, two queens of comedy.
All blew up.
And King of Comedy, right. But he blew up over them.
Yeah.
And he was the smaller name.
That's true.
So for him to take it to that next level lets me know that, okay, he's doing something right. Or he's got the right people in his corner.
Yeah.
Because it's the difference between being mainstream celebrity and an urban celebrity. And
yeah, he certainly crossed over on all of that.
Absolutely. So when the...
You know who else I think? Oh, go ahead, my bad.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's pretty much him. And then, like, it's hard to say after that because everybody else is kind of on that same level.
I think who I also think is probably... He's in the top running for me, the top three of all-time greatest, which is saying a lot.
Right.
It's saying a lot because, I mean, I'm a big Carlin fan.
Right.
You know, probably like some of the people you mentioned. But I think Chappelle has done that.
I like what Chappelle has done.
He's crossed over somewhat. You know, his last two specials fucking murdered to me. I was like, holy shit.
It's something that he taped earlier, too, when he talked about OJ and all that. That's before he had a whole big blow up.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like his evolution. But he's actually the son of two college professors. So he is smart as fuck. Right.
Well, I mean, dude, intelligence is highly backed behind being funny.
Absolutely.
That's why you hear girls like, I need a guy who's smart, who's funny. It's the same shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. You have to be smart to be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or stupid to be funny, too, because I met some stupid people that are hilarious.
That's a clown.
They don't,
that's not
true.
A comic. Yeah, that's a clown. That's, he's up in the corner setting his nuts on fire. Oh, put him out. That's not.
You hear that a lot of people. Like, I tried stand up or come out and see us Friday where you'll be at. And then some dude was at the 4th of July party yesterday, right? And I was like, come on out Friday. It'd be fun, man. I'm, you know, doing a little thing with my boy Mike. He was like, man, I could do stand up, man.
Of course.
I'd be fine. Man, I'm funny. And you can see his fiance like,
nah. Mm-mm. You're funny around people, you know. Go make 3,000 strangers laugh.
Yeah.
Go make 300 different strangers each night laugh for 2 years. They'll give you 2 years, a year and a half.
Just stand up there once.
6 months.
Just go up there once.
And tell some jokes. Don't pick at people. Just tell jokes.
Yeah.
If you want to play with the crowd, that's fine. But do you have jokes?
Yeah.
And that's the difference in a clown and a comic, man.
Yeah, I didn't. I used to be that guy, right? That was like, I'm funny as shit. You know what I mean? Like I can say. And then when you really start trying to work material, like I write more now than I ever did. And twerk shit, tweak it and twerk it. Yeah, I'm dancing with it, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out, you know, a lot of people don't know the grind. I keep calling it the comedy grind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to work. That's why I've always given mad respect to when we used to run a room out in New Smyrna, Off the Hook.
Okay.
Yeah, Patricia and I would host that room. We did it for about a year out there. Mm-hmm. And we tried to bring, we couldn't afford you. we couldn't. You remember we tried. You remember what you told me?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I told you how much we were paying you. Like, nah, man, I'm going to level up out of that, man.
I might have been in a different place in life.
Yeah, you were. You're like, don't you ever call me? No.
No, I didn't. I would never say that. I'd just say, man, I couldn't do it or whatever.
No, it wasn't enough for you. I promise you that. But for some starting, it was good pay.
Right, for a new guy.
Yeah, it was like $100 for the night.
Yeah, why not?
To come do, I think, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And I was getting some help from some guys, some dudes that have been in the game a while.
Mm-hmm.
Some two trusted dudes, you know?
Right.
And you know, that's where I started hosting, kind of getting used to
that's
it.
How you do it.
Yeah, just I definitely would host some more, man. But I forgot where I was going with the whole thing. But I really did. I was always giving up respect when I got to meet some of these comics coming through, mm-hmm. you know, 15 years in the game, you know, and grinding and still pushing, you know. I started to earn a much different respect and view of the art form itself.
Mm-hmm. Once you get into the craft, you view it differently.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, then outside saying, so when somebody goes, hey, let me tell you a joke, you look at it differently now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, with me, I've developed thicker skin over the years. Like, hey, man, you sure you want to be a comedian? I make people now that say, man, can you help me? I said, look, you go to open mic for 1 year. Show me that this is really what you want to do, and then I'll consider.
That's jumping. Smart.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of comics just be offering help off rip, man. Here's what you need to do. And I'm like, dog, you've been doing this 15 years and ain't done shit with it, but I'm going to listen to you.
Right, right. And then what worked for me might not work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, be honest with people, man. That's the main thing. I tell them to go to open mic and get the foundation and the fundamentals of comedy. Mm. And if you dedicate it to it like that for a year, then you'll see your own way. Maybe in a year you won't even need me to help you. You might need me to book you on a gig or something, but you won't need my stand-up help because you at that point will realize after a year that comedy is about my own voice.
Yeah.
Me viewing, being objective, or whatever style of comedy you have, you will realize that I don't want to be like Type Mike.
Yeah.
I want to be like A. I want to be like Kim Miller. I want to be like such and such. You develop your own person. I don't want to be like nobody but me.
Yeah. You got to find that voice. Look, podcasting has helped me do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's actually, I'm going to say that material for later.
Gotcha.
Almost went there. But yeah, it's we're all dying now.
Uh-oh.
Don't worry about it.
Hold on. I'm out of there, man. I broke it. There you go, man. I broke it. I'm sorry. I got all tangled up, man.
Nah, man.
It's good. I like your setup here, man. This is
thank you. That's why when I sent you the picture of it, you're like, okay.
I saw two dogs in these chairs.
Yeah, it's my puppies, man. That's my puppies, man.
Hey, no worries. Are my elbows really that bright? Okay, yeah, I thought I needed some lotion.
I got some. You need some?
I think I'm all right.
I think it's a little blurry anyway, both of us, so.
It's okay. You blurry. It's because you're a ghost.
I did it on purpose because you don't want to see my ass in focus for real.
Right.
Shit gets ugly.
No, man. I like how you cross your legs like you've been, you're an astute gentleman from the South.
I used to be a psychologist.
I could see
that's
that.
Where this shit came from.
I could see that.
Believe it, I was.
I could see it. Where'd you go to school?
Columbia. That's where I got that. The first degree. I have 5 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how, but I, well, wow. All right. It sounds better than what it really is. All right. So I'm in school long enough.
Okay.
Get my AA degree.
Okay.
Right. And then kicked out and back in.
Okay.
Then I went long enough that I got an AA and an AS.
Right. I was saying, right? You got to have two AS.
That's just because I was in long enough, had enough credits for one side, and then just went back. So the same thing happened for the 4-year degree,
okay.
Where I was in school to be a marketing degree and business degree. Mm-hmm. And I got so far, but I was always interested in psychology, so I took a lot of those electives too.
Gotcha.
So I wound up with a minor in sociology while I was finishing, but then I got kicked out again after I was arrested by the FBI.
Wow.
I got kicked out and couldn't finish that degree. So in order to go back, now I had switched, these are years apart, and wow. I come back to be a psychologist. So I started on this end, and I got to get a 4-year in psychology. So then I took other marketing business electives that finished it out. So I graduated with a BA and a BS. So I have a BA degree in marketing and minor in business, a minor in sociology, a 4-year in psychology.
Wow.
And then a master's, and then all the way
wow.
on psychology. So
wow.
I tell you, it sounds better than what it is.
No, you can utilize that in a lot of forms, brother.
I got kicked out twice. That's why it sounds so damn smart.
And then when you came back, you got two.
Yeah. Well, this is why I now sit like this.
And you double up.
And I hold the coffee at the same time. And I so tell me about your mother.
Right. Where's this stem from? Mm-hmm. So how long your father been touching you? That kind of just old school stuff.
Oh, I've heard it all, dog.
Bruh, that is a job. That should give you more material than anything, man.
I'm held to HIPAA. As long as
well, you can't do it. You can't say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, HIPAA laws prevent it.
Yeah. I'm not using names, but there's some shit
going on in people's heads. I can only imagine, man.
That's why psychologists are fucking crazy.
Wow.
It's not because we're already crazy. It's because we listen to crazy motherfuckers. Everybody's crazy as shit.
Right, and you can't tell nobody.
No.
Shit.
Just the notes and the insurance company.
That's it.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, you hear some crazy shit. Now, we have a duty to warn, is what it's called as psychologists.
Uh-huh.
If the client is in front of us talking about hurting somebody or harming somebody.
You gotta tell the police.
We have to warn the person.
Oh, okay.
We have to warn the person and the police.
Wow.
Duty to warn. And technically, by law, if you're talking to anybody and they talk about killing themselves, mm-hmm. you have to report them gotcha. And notify that, which is why a lot of people are scared to even bring it up. But
right.
yeah, but there's no real line, because a lot of times, like, those are thoughts that go through people's heads sometimes.
Right, right.
So they say it, and you can't, you know, when you're a young psychologist, when you're just starting, you're like, oh, no, I have to fucking Baker Act. I got to tell them.
Yeah.
You know? But
yeah.
you can't.
Right.
Because then every time you say something,
they go.
Yeah.
Then you lose your money for the next session.
Oh, man, don't even get me started. It's all about making that money. So, yeah, I did that shit. That's why I learned to start sitting like this.
That's what's up.
Because you got to get comfortable hearing crazy shit.
You got that professor seat.
Yeah.
You got that posture of some type of professor.
It happens.
I, in turn, went to junior college and quit after my second semester.
If you ask me, that makes you smarter.
To me, I've learned more out here than in school.
Well, but see, remember, I got my first degrees in the street.
Right.
From yeah. Pine Hills Mercy Drive. That's where I got my first degrees.
Right, right, right.
Then I'm like, I'm going to go get some other degrees to try to get out of this shit.
Right, because that just taught you one way.
Oh, yeah.
But it taught you how to survive.
I stayed in school, though, because no matter how crazy my weekend was, no matter how much coke I sold, right. no matter how many people, dope boys we robbed, yeah. I had class on Tuesday.
There you go.
It yeah. felt normal as fuck.
Right. You had a normal life. Intertwined into the bullshit. Yeah, right.
But I still think you... look, man, if I could go and undo all those fucking degrees, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Do you have, like, student loans?
Oh, goddamn right.
Oh, no.
I have a house that I will never live in.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I'm talking
that
six...
That much money.
Oh.
Wow.
I'm six figures. I own a home that I'll never see or ever live in.
Wow.
That I will be paying on for the next 30 years of my life.
Wow.
So I can sit like this.
That's all right. Well, this podcast is going to change your career. You're going to be able to pay it off, man. Did you just spit it? You can be.
I've been doing this 5 years, man.
It's coming up, man. It's 300,000 people watching this.
Yeah, and I've yet to try to monetize it.
Okay.
Because I've always told Alyssa I'd never do that.
Okay.
Well, I'm kind of stuck in that shit.
If you promise them, you can monetize me. I'd take it and help you pay off your shit with some of the money.
We got to do something.
Yeah, we're going to help pay down the house you never live in, man. And then I'm going to pay.
I am not paying that shit off. Because when one of them bullets finally do hit me,
yeah.
and somebody gets me, they can fucking eat that debt. I ain't fucking paying them shit.
Wow. Thanks, America.
I'm telling you, look, man, don't get me started, bro.
Okay.
I will go the fuck off.
I see you.
Teachers should not have to pay for fucking college. Cops should not have to pay for fucking college.
Agreed.
Psychologists should not have to pay, or mental health counselor of any sort should not have to pay for college. I'm going to get a degree to help motherfuckers.
Right.
And it's not like it pays that much.
Wow.
But they taxing you like you're about to be an engineer.
Wow. So anybody that helps somebody, your theory, anybody that helps somebody shouldn't have to pay for college.
Yeah.
So if I work at McDonald's.
You ain't helping shit.
I'm giving you the goddamn cheeseburger with the filling, no, I ain't.
Now, most of the time you get the fries anyway, or the extra sauce.
Well, or I put too much salt on it.
Yeah.
And your milkshake machine always broke. That's the
fucking have right. a heart attack, three fries in.
That's funny, man. That's just people that help you. The mailman shouldn't have to pay for college.
Hmm.
All right.
No, this is a service.
Strippers should not have to pay for college.
They don't. The 1 in 20 actually are stripping to go to pay for college, all right?
And what's ironic is they go to college and get a degree in psychology.
Yeah, because they're just trying to figure out why they did what they did.
But they've been doing it the whole time. Think about it when somebody's dancing on you. You telling them your problems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they shouldn't have to pay. I'm with you on that.
I went to try to figure out why I was so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I went to get a degree, not to help motherfuckers. In my book, that's what I literally wrote.
Yeah.
I wrote in there, I did not come to be a psychologist so I could help other people. I want to know why I was fucking insane.
Wow.
And then I learned, and then wrote a book. Not much has changed, but no, I do. I think teachers should not have to pay.
I agree with that one, though.
They don't.
The teachers, strippers.
Yeah, definitely should get free college.
You know who I
think. But then what are they going to tell everybody they're actually paying for by dancing?
Well, they're stripping their way through college.
Yeah. 1 in 20 at best are actually doing that shit. Otherwise, there'd be way more dime pieces at UCF.
Right. Well, there's a few out there.
Just saying.
Diamond from Players Club made it, and maybe like five of the strippers have actually.
Well, if you're on day shift, you should get free college. If you're a day shift dancer.
Right.
Then you get free college. You're going
to
need it.
Right. Because you're going to school at night. And you're tired as hell.
Well, if they put you on day shift, I used to work at a strip club.
Right. We all worked there one time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
actually, probably the same ones.
No,
Dollhouse and Diamond Club.
No, I was at Cleo's.
No, well, you were down the street.
Yeah.
Just down the street.
You were right down the road there, man.
Yeah.
From the Cowboys.
Crystal Cabaret, actually, where I was
Crystal Cabaret.
Across from the Dollhouse.
Yes. Yes, and there was another cabaret on 1792.
Somewhere. Owned by the same one, same dude.
When I first moved to Central Florida, that was the spot.
Yeah, it looks like the two
there.
Tits.
Yeah, now it's a lake or something there or something.
I don't know. It was, Crystal Cabaret. Yeah, you're right.
Crystal Cabaret.
Yeah, shout out to all the working ladies.
One time for all the naked hustle. Appreciate you doing your naked hustle, man. I'm excited. This has been fun times chit-chatting with you, man.
Man, we're hanging out here all fucking day. I told you. Some people are like Mike Hurley, he's coming on, and he does his own podcast. Was Obligatory Podcast. And then
Kermit, yeah.
Yeah, and then Tim Allen's going to come on. Spunky's coming on.
That's good.
Spunky will come on.
Spunky's a good conversation, too. Tim is a great conversation, too.
Yeah, he's fresh in the game, too, right?
Right. He's crossing over from the Christian-style clean comedy to a little bit of cursing, but I don't think he's going to be ever a big-time cursing guy.
I don't know. He keeps drinking that Jack Daniels he's a fan of. It may happen.
So that's not communion.
No.
Sipping on.
I tried to turn him to Jameson last time we were at Chantel's.
Oh, wow. And last weekend. Oh, what a time.
Yeah, last weekend.
What a time. Tonight, man, we're at Chantel's. I know this is real time, right?
Yeah.
Tonight, we're at Chantel's. 503 South Sanford Avenue, man. My man, A.L.,
giving it a go.
Email is coming out to hang out with us, man. A lot of folks coming. It's the holiday weekend here, 4th of July weekend, 2019. My elbow is really, really white. That is really concerning me now. Maybe I should just...
No, that's worse. He's standing like...
Hug yourself.
Oh, damn, I'm going to spill my coffee.
Oh, that's all right. I'm telling the wifey, man. This is a nice shag rug, man. You messing up the shag rug.
Yeah, we'll live. Fuck it.
Hang in there.
Dude, it's worse when you're doing... Because we switched the studio up, so when we do the Cognitive Rampage, the podcast is over there facing different background and shit. It's worse when you spill a coffee on all the shit.
Wow.
Hits the mixer, hits the fucking computer. We took her computer out already. Coffee took that one out.
It's a done deal. Coffee.
Yeah, it's a wrap, dog.
That's all right. That's why when you're like, you want some coffee? No.
No.
Coffee does amazing things to my stomach. Worse than that, man.
Oh, it's grimy.
Violent.
I needed it, bro. I woke up hungover as fuck.
We was overdoing it yesterday for the sparklers and the ribs and shit.
I didn't mean to, but I damn sure did, man. It wasn't even Jameson. I was keeping it chill with a few beers.
Right.
Oh, my God. I woke up this morning. I'm too old for that shit, man.
Right. Like Danny Glover and Mel Gibson.
I can't do it no more, man.
I'm too old for this shit.
I am. I woke up this morning. Well, you texted me at 11:30. It literally was good morning.
Wow.
No, I was literally like, good morning.
Wow.
You said good AM. And I'm like, good fucking morning, bro. And I'm like, all right, shit, when you coming?
Yeah, he's like, between 11 and 2. I'm like, oh, shit, let me get there at 12:30. Da, da, da. But it's okay. This has been fun, bro. How much time do we have some time left or no? Not really.
Whenever.
Oh, we just stop whenever?
It's fucking hanging the fuck out.
Oh, okay.
That's the whole point.
Okay.
That's actually the point I never got to when I was having Mike and these other guys on the podcast. They asked the direct question. I get it too with the Cognitive Rampage when I booked those guests. They're like, well, how long is the show? 30 minutes. I'm like, it's fucking long as it fucking wants to be.
Oh, okay.
Till you got to shit, till you got to piss, till you got to go, till the cops come.
Right. Okay. So,
yeah.
Two more minutes, because I got to shit and piss, and then the cops are coming.
All right.
That's funny as shit you said that. We're having a good time tonight, man. Sanford, Florida. Really a lot of history. It's downtown Sanford, man. Chantel's, I know, it gives the impression of
Chantel's.
No, it's actually
the fucking best chicken and waffles.
She's a chef. Did you know that? Chicken and waffles. They got a jerk chicken sandwich. They do all
tonight. I'm doing the shrimp and grits, though.
Shrimp and grits. They got an amazing menu, bro.
Yeah.
Because she's a chef, and then the owner's a chef, and then she hired another professional chef to do the cooking when she's not there.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be amazing. Good times, man. $10 to get in. We started at 8:30.
It was a good time last time, man. About five of us out there.
Right. So it should be like three or four tonight. It's me and you, and I got a couple special guests I want to say, a couple guests that should come. Just in case they don't come, you want to say the name of them.
Yeah, I got a couple people coming out, actually, not to do stand-up.
Just come and support.
Yeah,
that's a good thing, man. So we're going to be in the building, baby. And it's BYOB, which is what I
love that shit.
That's what I love about Chantel's, man. You can bring. She doesn't have her liquor license yet, so you can bring your own drink in there and have a good time.
Yeah, they charged, it was $5 to
bring your own bottle.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then it comes with the ice and cups and shit like that.
There you go.
I'm telling you, that it may not be worth paying for her to get a six-figure. I mean, one, it's a lottery anyway. You can get a beer and wine.
Right.
But I used to be in a club, but trying to get one of them motherfuckers, it's a bitch and it's expensive.
Absolutely. A lot of people rent other people's licenses.
Yeah. They sublet them. Yeah. They use catering licenses and shit, too.
Absolutely. 50-51 license.
Yep.
Yeah. 51-49 license.
There you go. Look at us. What, you in insurance or some shit?
I do a lot of shit. You're going to learn about
it. You're actually quoting a literal license.
Hey, brother, I'm in a lot of shit, man.
Yeah.
Anything to keep this daycare going. You know what I'm saying? That daycare payment a mug, boy, every week. So you got to be, you know, you got to be a renaissance man, as they call it.
Yeah.
You got to know how to do a lot of shit. I used to sell a little dope, too, once upon a time. I sold dope for one day, AL, and I was so goddamn nervous.
Yeah, that was it.
I sold dope to one dude, and it was like a nickel bag of weed. Did they even have nickel bags?
No, not anymore.
Right.
And actually, probably because some of this shit's so strong, they sell little pieces like that. So, yeah.
Bro, and it was regular. I don't know what all this other stuff they're doing now. It was 30 years ago, damn near. And the next day, the dude was like, man, that's some good shit you got. I'm like, I'm out. Don't come to me no more.
Don't talk to me no more.
Right. Bro, I don't know what you're talking about, bro. I had one nickel bag and that was it. And really, I just had a dime bag.
He took that. Dude, it used to take me hours packing that shit up.
No, bro. I gave the other nickel bag to somebody and sold the nickel bag.
He gave one and sold one, so he just broke even.
So I'm out. I'm out of business.
You're not up or down. You broke even in the game.
I'm out. And the feds ain't coming for me. You know
what I'm saying? No, they know me personally by name.
Oh, Lord.
We could get into now.
Later.
Well, bro, I'm going to cut this short, man. We're going to be out here.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me here. This is a very nice goddamn studio, bro.
Anytime.
I would definitely come back. And it's not a long ride from where I'm at, man.
No, you ain't far?
No, no, it's a ride. It's 30 minutes, but.
No, it ain't too far.
It ain't.
For Orlando, that's not bad at all.
No, I'm in a Popka area, man. Mount Dora.
You can go the back way, though.
46 is how I came.
That's it.
I know a lot of shit, man.
I'm
dipping down through these bushes, buddy.
I'm born and raised in these damn bushes, man. That's why I still have camo on.
I love, man, what you're doing here. Continue, man. Continue support. Tight Mike Comedy on all your social media.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, can they find you, sir?
Right here. Right here.
And tonight at Chantel's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be at Chantel's tonight, y'all. Come out. It's in Sanford. Best food you ever had. Some killer comedy that's out there. Looking forward to it, man. It's a lot of love you put me up there. Let me give me a shot to bomb some more. Hey, I appreciate it.
I can't wait to have you do your thing tonight. You're not going to. We're going to put this positive energy out there.
Yeah.
You only got to do like 10 minutes, man. You got to hurt.
Oh, shit. That's it?
Then you got to hurt yourself, man.
Well, I'm prepped.
Yeah.
The first set I ever actually did was 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was at my own show, so I could do that shit.
Was it watered down or was it?
No, fire? It was all right.
It was fire?
It was all right.
Okay.
I keep working on it. More of a story kind of telling, motherfucker.
Yeah, but that's what's good. Well, what are we going to do tonight, Chantel? We're going to work on your cleaning stuff where you don't have to say motherfucker as much.
No, I noticed that as the last time.
Because you videotaped it. I saw that.
Yep.
And I'm like,
and then when I picked up, I said, I cursed too much.
Right. And I'm working on that, too. So it's first not thing just I noticed. You, brother. I'm not just pointing the sword at you.
I had the timing down, I think. I was slow enough, timing.
You did good. You just 13 less motherfuckers.
Yeah, way too many.
Yeah, because it's an older crowd, so they want to hear its material.
It also, it takes the, when you use the word, it takes the whole oomph out of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? There was one time where that word was necessary.
Right.
13 unnecessaries. So when you use it when it was necessary for emphasis, it was like, oh, he's just saying it again.
Right.
Yep. No, I picked that first thing I picked up.
But at least you're learning.
Yeah. Trying.
The fact that you're trying to learn, you learn from your own. And I do the same thing, so I'm working on that too.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. You take us out of here because my producer's in the other room. Yeah. And so you take us out of here, and I'm going to cut this off.
Okay. Hey, man, you just been listening to the LMO podcast of the cognitive, that's a big word, Cognitive Rampage Network. Me and my man AL. It's your boy Tight Mike. You feel like I've been smoking weed, but I think it's a chest coat. And I'm going to get some lotion right after this. Thank y'all, man. We'll see you soon. It's a great time, man.